Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the 1970s. Recognize this? This morning I had to wait for what seemed like an eternity for a B train. Listen to a man imploring for spare change, step over a Starbucks cup to leave my train car. Last night I saw a man with several of those plastic zip bags from China in a shopping cart rummaging through a trash can on Fulton Street. Mayor Bloomberg is threatening to withhold tax rebate checks and talking about cuts in health clinics, the police force, and the schools. Is this the 1970s again, when jobs hemorrhaged, taxes soared, and the city's population fled? That's the question the Free Daily AM New York raised earlier this week, and we'll take it up today with Manhattan Institute Senior Fellow Julia Vitullo-Martin. Welcome to WNYC.
Hi, Andrea. Good to hear from you.
Nice to hear. Talk to you, too. So first, I just want to throw out the phone number, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Did you live through the 1970s in New York?
Oh, I did indeed.
It's a question for our callers that I want to invite people to check in as well. And I'm wondering if people are being reminded of that era, and if you worry that the city is headed into another decline, or maybe you didn't live here in the 1970s, maybe you weren't even born then, but maybe you heard about it. Are you thinking about moving away? The number is 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Now, sorry, Julia Vitullo-Martin, you were saying that you lived in the 1970s. Does this feel like the 1970s to you?
I should begin by saying that we've got bad symptoms that are appearing all over the city right now, but we are in no way as horribly off as we were in 1974, and we don't face that kind of wrenching fiscal crisis of 1975, in which the city was one day away from declaring bankruptcy. What we do face is an increase that seems to have been occurring over the last 6 months in petty crime, in vandalism, in quality of life offenses, much like the ones you just mentioned, in a general deterioration or feeling of deterioration in the city's physical landscape, and that's all coming along with an increase in the homicide rate, which is scary. So we're not back to the 1970s, but we are teetering on a sense of chaos that we haven't had in New York for some time.
Now, it's hard to, you said that, okay, so in the 1970s, New York was facing declaring bankruptcy, and yet, you know, every day somebody announces that they are cutting thousands of jobs. You know, the governor says he wants to cut $12 billion from the budget, that nothing is sacred, that he's looking at schools. The mayor says, I'm not giving you the tax rebates, and we're going to cut health clinics. We're going to cut the police force. So what is different structurally now from the 1970s that makes the city, you know, not have to trot hat in hand to Washington and wait for the federal government to bail out the city?
Well, the big thing that's different is we're not, New York City doesn't have the tremendous amount of short-term debt that it had in the 1970s. What it does have that's so frightening, however, is it has a very large municipal workforce, which had been one of the problems in operating expenses in the 1970s. And in fact, it's under the Bloomberg administration, the city has returned to the high levels of municipal employment of 1973. So in that fiscal crisis in the 1970s, part of the workout plan to save the city had been a cut, substantial cut in the municipal workforce, 80,000, as I recall. and also tremendous increases in productivity. What's happened since then is the municipal workforce has gone back up to those numbers, and we have no discussions these days about productivity. I mean, it's interesting to hear the governor, for example, say nothing's sacred. Well, apparently productivity, you know, isn't in that category because nobody talks about it.
And yet, in this time where there's all kinds of unemployment, is it feasible for the city to really start talking about cutting its workforce? I mean, doesn't that mean more unemployed and you know, more problems on that end of the stick?
Well, it may well mean more unemployment, but the city's got no choice but to cut its workforce. The city's revenues are going to plummet in this financial crisis. I don't think anybody denies that. As New York income for New Yorkers go down, then income tax revenues are going to go down as well. And as business profits go down, business taxes are going to go down.
All right, let's take some calls before I do. And the number, by the way, 212-433-9692, 433-WNYC. Let me read a couple of comments from our comments board. Here's one. There is a certain pride in being raised in New York in the 1970s. It was one of the more interesting, compelling, and challenging places and periods in history. Now that I have children, the closest I want to get to revisiting 1970s New York is watching The French Connection. And this one, it will be just like the New York portrayed in the movie Death Wish, except with no trans fats and salt. Nanny Bloomberg will be like a real-life Bronson character, taking out wrongdoers with a sock full of quarters and an arsenal of tickets and court summonses. Maybe he'll do something about the rude, self-obsessed, ironic hipsters and all their facial hair. Let's take some calls. Jane from Brooklyn. Hi, you're on WNYC.
Hi, Andrea. Actually, it kind of ties into what the person made on the comments page. From my understanding, I've lived in New York for almost 10 years, so nine, so I'm just 1 year shy of being a true New Yorker, I guess. And my understanding,
really? Is that it? You have to be here a decade, then you're a true New Yorker?
I think so. That's what they say. That's what I'm told. That's what I believe. But the demographic, from my understanding, in New York has changed from the 70s and that it is full of very young people, hipster types, and you just don't know, you know, anyway, how they could afford to live here. But I think what might happen is that we're going to see more Euro-type tourists coming over, and maybe New York will become a bigger tourist destination. It's already turned over, but we're seeing more and more people traveling here. Maybe there'll be more investment in that regard. Instead of it going down, it'll just sort of change hands.
Well, Julia Vitola Martin, I mean, it raises a serious question, though. I mean, sort of, you know, there's a global recession. So for a long time, New York has done well by having this big tourist boom, but what now?
Well, that's a very interesting point. The European money actually was one of the factors that saved New York in the late 70s and early 1980s, because even though New Yorkers were leaving New York and abandoning even very valuable real estate, Europeans were pouring in, wealthy Europeans, because terrorism and crime were at that time so very high in Europe. And European tourism and European investment has been very important in New York ever since. Europeans are continuing to buy New York real estate, so that's good. But ironically, the increasing strength of the American dollar is going to hurt us with European investment, because the euro and the pound are weakening against the dollar. That's just one of those things that's happening that New York can't do anything about.
Thank you for your call, Jane. Charlie from Brooklyn. Hi, you're on WNYC.
Hi, this is a great topic because I'm forever sort of sharing with my friends I've made who are people who've come to New York from other parts of the country, and I'm forever romanticizing that time period. But the truth of the matter is, when I was a kid in the mid to late 70s and taking the subway to high school, if I got on the wrong train by accident, I was in trouble. We had teachers manning subway stops in certain neighborhoods because there were gangs of chain snatchers. There were people living in the tunnels on almost every subway line. The waterfronts were occupied by homeless people. There were tent cities everywhere in almost every neighborhood. None of the infrastructure worked. Streetlights would go out and stay out for weeks. Abandoned buildings were sort of taken over. Everyone was fleeing the city. there were people on, I would say, from Avenue A to D, from 14th Street down to Houston, who were offering plane tickets to Florida and a free month's rent if you moved into a building, okay? Rent on 8th Avenue
Hard
near
to
the
imagine.
Armory and Park Slope, 8th Avenue and 15th Street, $225 a month for four rooms on the corner. And this was when I was a sophomore, so that was 1980.
All right.
I think that the first Wall Street boom in the early 80s brought everybody back. But this was only New Yorkers from the suburbs coming back in, or their kids, and the art scene, the music scene, and the first yuppies coming down that took over. That was the beginning.
So, Charlie, do you worry? I mean, I know that things aren't certainly are not like that, and I can't quite imagine a $225 a month apartment in Park Slope, nor can I imagine anybody else thinking that that's going to happen imminently. But I'm wondering, are you seeing any signs that make you nervous?
Signs that there's a decline? Well, listen, I think the results of the so-called, you know, 90s boom, the real estate boom that we saw were not all good. I mean, there was a very, very, very serious strain on services in certain neighborhoods. The infrastructure of the city was stressed to the breaking point, and there wasn't the capital to make the improvements necessary to accommodate that kind of a boom. But everything is cyclical in this city. This city has been torn down and rebuilt so many times since, I would say, you know, the beginning of New York's boom, which was when the Erie Canal was finished. Back in the 1800s, when government wouldn't fund that canal, DeWitt Clinton got some, you know, private investment and connected the Great Lakes with the Hudson River Valley, and that's what opened up New York City's maritime ports to the great Midwestern grain markets, and that allowed New York to be the conduit into the interior of the country and the riches there. And that's what made New York grow past Boston and Philly and Baltimore. Now it's other things, the financial sector, the cultural world, and all of the attendant offices and businesses. So I think as long as that remains the core of the city, I think we're going to see these cycles, and we're never going to see it sink back to those levels, and we're never going to see it really boom past what we saw in the 90s.
All right, thank you.
Thank
you for your call, Charlie. Julia Vitula-Martin, Senior Fellow from the Manhattan Institute. What do you think about what Charlie said, that we're not going to go back?
Well, he's right. We're not going to go back to I think the iconic movie of the 1970s was Soylent Green, you know, New York is Hell.
Well, let's also just interject that let's remember the 1970s. I mean, it was Son of Sam. It was the blackout riots. It was the Bronx was burning. I mean, it was quite a time.
It was a terrible time, and it was a time of utter humiliation for New York. Everything that we thought we were was overturned. And we're not going back to those days. But what people are worried about is, you know, we know that small deteriorations in life, incremental deteriorations in New York, have in the past signaled that worse is to come. And, you know, that's what people are worried about. Combined with a decrease in, say, the police force, a decrease in the sanitation force, that's not going to have a good outcome.
Well, I wonder, you know, I mean, there's all this, these sort of macro forces aren't that different. I mean, you know, in the 70s, it was this big manufacturing job loss. Now we have this huge job loss from the financial sector. You know, there's talk about sort of, you know, I mean, I know that there's this big resistance to tax increases, but Mayor Bloomberg is talking about holding back on tax rebates. Checks and who knows what comes next. And, you know, of course, in the 1970s, you know, the city tried to sort of tax its dwindling tax base into prosperity, and that didn't work. So I'm sort of wondering structurally, I mean, aside from the fact that I think people are much more aware now of the effect of these quality of life issues on the people that are going to stay in the city, I mean, the city is talking about cutting schools and police and subways. And all of these things are, you know, sort of pointing to big economic forces very similar to what they were.
Yes, well, that's correct.
Okay, so we're doomed. Let's take another couple of calls. Jack from Brooklyn, hi, you're on WNYC.
Hi, great show. I think there's a major distinction that has to do with the quality of leadership that we were facing in the 70s. When Mayor Beam came in 73, he was following on 8 years of the Lindsay administration. which started off with enough fanfare and good intentions, but Lindsay somehow managed to pit the classes one against the other. There was a sense of us against them. Different groups in the city squared off against each other. You saw it in the beginning with Ocean Hill, Brownsville, and then it continued with a transit union strike and so on. I think nowadays there's a much greater feeling of solidarity, even among disparate income groups. Ever since September 11th, we feel that we're in this together, no matter where we are.
Yeah, I was thinking of that very thing. I was remembering during the blackout of, 2003,
mm-hmm.
When there were no riots and people came out and they sat on their stoops and listened to their radios together and shared flashlights. I mean, what about that, Julia Vitula-Martin? Has the city sort of, have there been some psychological changes in the city which will prevent it from going in that direction?
I think there's no question but that what the caller is saying is correct, and that there has been an immense shift in the New York zeitgeist and New Yorkers' sense of themselves. I mean, for one thing, New Yorkers now take great pride in being nice, where in the 1970s...
We are nice.
Yes, indeed. But this is a new thing.
In the 1970s, people didn't think they were nice?
No, and didn't want to be nice and didn't... this was not a goal in life. And in fact, of course, if you look at the old New York movies, I mean, New York movies today have less of an edge than they had in the post-war years because of this new phenomenon of New Yorkers being nice and New Yorkers sticking together and New Yorkers liking one another. And, look at the incredibly crowded subways that we now have. Every time I get on a subway car, it's packed these days. But everybody's nice on the subway car. That's a far cry from the 1970s when you really had to worry, as an earlier caller had said, you got on the wrong subway car, you were in a lot of trouble.
Thank you for your call, Jack. Jamie from Brooklyn. Hi, you're on WNYC.
Hi. Most of the other callers, or the last two callers who were really, really wonderful, stole a lot of my thunder, but I'm a native New Yorker, grew up on the Upper West Side, on 96th Street, where in the 70s the delineation between good neighborhood and bad neighborhood happened to be right down the middle, and I lived on the wrong side. But I got to tell you, having spent my whole life here minus college, regardless of all of the problems that existed in New York at the time, it was still probably, in my opinion, the most magical place to live. I mean, in light of the fact that there are 9 million people here under hard and difficult circumstance, society continued. It stalled, but it continued, and not every one of us was killed or maimed. not every one of us lived in, took the wrong subway and found ourselves in a bonfire of the vanity situation. I think that those are exaggerations, and those are exaggerations that people love to live on in terms of what they saw as New York then, patting themselves on the back for having survived that. I don't agree. New York was New York, and we lived here, and we survived, and we all did, not all of us, but, we did well, and it's still a vital place, and people still throng to it. And at this point, the difference is that people have invested so much money into the real estate and into their own personal infrastructure here, in contrast to the 70s, that it's almost the indignation of the gentry would turn around and say, look, you can't do this to us because we have spent too much money here. We can't afford to flee. We have to put money back into it.
All right. So New York has become too good to not survive, sort of too big to fail.
Too good to abandon.
Thank you very much, Jamie. Thank you to everyone who called in. This conversation continues online on the Brian Lehrer page at WNYC.org. I'm Andrea Bernstein, in for Brian Lehrer. Julia Vitula-Martin from the Manhattan Institute, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
And for anyone who's seen the movie The Warriors and is worried about a return to the 1970s, let's hope it doesn't come to this.
Warriors, come out to play. Warriors, come out to play. Warriors, come out to play.